Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source. Provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, Episode 6, Portals.
Good morning, Greg LaFollette for Intersection Live, Document Management for Accountants to Go. This is episode number 6. We're recording on July 22nd, 2008, the middle of high summer. We're going to talk about document management and all of those very specific parts of document management that are so different for the practice of public accounting. And I suppose we're going to talk about those items that are the same horizontally. And our regular host, John Higgins, is here with us. And those of you who are regular listeners know that John's background and expertise in the area of paperless and digital and document management and plain workflow management and understanding the practice of public accounting is pretty wide and pretty deep. And John is a CPA and a CITP and a regular speaker nationally and regionally. With his partner and his group out in Detroit helps dozens and dozens and probably now hundreds of accounting firms around the country learn to take better advantage of the tools that they've purchased. In some cases, help them to figure out the right kind of tools to purchase. So, John Higgins, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Greg, and thanks for that introduction.
Well, you're very welcome, and certainly very, very well deserved. You've been knocking around in this business. I would age you if I told you that if I told everybody how long you've been doing it. Except I've been doing it a lot longer. So we invented paper when I started, so now we're our first paperless solution was call the guy and have him deliver more paper. That was solving a paperless problem. So today, John, we're going to talk about portals, right?
That's correct, yes.
Well, you know, that's and I think this is great because everyone knows what a portal is, correct?
Well, I think most people do, but I'm not sure I would say everyone.
Well, the problem with that, I think the statement is true. Everybody knows what a portal is, but everybody's idea is a little bit different. So we're talking specifically today about portals that an accounting firm would spawn for their clients or collaborators, I guess, for that point, but for specific people. With that, you know, kind of like what a bank does for its customer. So I, as a customer of my bank, I can go and with my username and ID and, you know, passing the privacy things, I get to look at, on the bank's website, I get to look at my information, specific to me, but general to the bank. And that's exactly what we're talking about, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think the key point there is looking only at your information, and the whole issue of having a secure connection is, you know, it's a paramount importance for everyone because we're talking about exchanging confidential and sensitive information. And there's definitely been an increase in appreciation for the potential to really have good, secure communications with the portal. So that's been a real positive.
Right. And there's much, much, much legislation in this area. And someday we're going to talk just about the legislation. But today I think we want to talk about portals in general. And so why don't you give us some background, John, and kind of walk me through here and our listeners, you know, where we're at and what's happening in this area, and how come banks have been doing this since the early 90s, and accounting firms are just figuring it out.
Okay, maybe we'll start with just kind of a very broad definition of the concept of a portal, as we've alluded to a little bit already. But I like to just describe it as a secure website, and its purpose is to serve as a gateway to a collection of electronic information and applications. So electronic documents, as well as actually, in some cases, software applications. So you make the point about the banks. For banks, it's really all about connecting to their portal to get access to applications to do all the things you would do as if you were walking into the branch bank to transfer funds or open up a new account, reconcile your bank statement, view your bank statement, all those things we used to do at the bank branch or through the mail, postal mail we'd receive. And so banks saw early on the opportunity to really streamline their operations with their customers and also provide their customers with a better service. I know for me personally now, in terms of for our business as well as for my personal banking, that's really one of the top criteria I use, if I'm looking for a new bank to do business with, is what kind of online services do they have? And, you know, we could spend a whole session talking about banks. But back to the accounting and tax side of things, what's happening is that as we've made this evolution or transformation to the digital office, as we continue to make that transformation, and more firms are implementing document management systems to really take it to a paperless model, well, the ability to then exchange those documents electronically with clients is just by the very nature of the process, is increasing exponentially. And for the most part, up until the time a firm gets into a portal, all of that information is exchanged via email. And, you know, there's lots of issues, potential issues with that. From a security perspective, you have some vulnerabilities there. But just overall efficiency of managing the exchange of information with clients can start to get really unwieldy. Whereas with the portal, you just simply, just like you put it in the file cabinet, your copy in your paper file cabinet in the past, now you can put the client's copy in their electronic file cabinet, which is housed within your secure portal. And I'll keep using the term secure over and over because it's important that you understand the potential to have a good secure control over that information, and the dissemination of that information is very much just a standard operating procedure when we talk about portals.
So, John, let me ask you about that word secure. It really means two things. Number one, it's secure because we have authentication, right? We have a username and a password that limits that access to one person or at least one people who know that particular combination of things. So that's
right.
Security of access. It's also secure in that it is an SSL connection, a secure socket. You get the little padlock there that indicates it's a secure transaction, so it's encrypted from end to end.
Correct, yeah. So
okay.
That minimizes any concerns you might have about somebody hijacking the information in the transmission process and being able to use that information.
Sure, okay, I gotcha.
So that security, as we say, the other thing I like to make the point about security and the use of portals is, you know, I always contend that one of the biggest vulnerabilities that accounting and tax professionals have when it comes to exchanging electronic documents with their clients is just simply making a typing mistake when they go to enter the email address. And, you know, we have, of course, the automatic lookup, and we meant to send the file to John Doe, and we sent it inadvertently to Jane Doe, and we weren't paying attention, hit the send button, and then say, oh, my gosh, what did I just do?
Yeah, we used to have that problem with fax machines. We'd accidentally push the wrong button and fax it to the wrong person, which was very embarrassing.
Yeah, it's that point, that feeling of the point of no return that can be very sinking. So with the portal, obviously, you publish the documents and you identify specifically whose account or whose login those are intended to be accessed by, and then you know that only that person is going to come in and get those documents. You eliminate the potential error of emailing them to the wrong person. Now, of course, you still do have the potential issue where you could post it to the wrong client's account in your portal, but that's more difficult to do because there's typically more steps involved, so you're going to be more keenly aware of where those documents are being posted on your portal.
Sure.
We talk about portals. The other thing I like to point out is that there's really, I like to classify them into three categories. One-way portals, two-way portals, and then what I'll call a real-time portal. And the one-way portal is the most common today in accounting and tax practices, and that's really your online filing cabinet for your clients, where you're generating typically a PDF copy of the tax return or a PDF copy of the audit report or the projection. It doesn't have to be a PDF copy. It can be any file type in the case of most portals. And so in a one-way portal, you use it as a place to post those documents so that your clients can log in and view them electronically online. They can typically pull them down to their local computer if they want. They may be able to then email them directly from your portal to, say, the banker as an email attachment. And so one way means, in that example, the only way information flows is from your office to the client. The second category, which we'll call two-way, adds to that portal capability the opportunity for the clients to upload files to you electronically. So they can send files rather than trying to send in a USB drive or a DVD or a CD with their QuickBooks files on them and mailing them or having somebody drive them across town to the office or emailing them as attachments.
Right.
This way they can literally upload them from their computer directly into your portal securely. So two-way. Yeah.
Exactly. And every accounting firm in America has problems exchanging QuickBooks files.
Yeah, that's one of the big inefficiencies we see in you know, many firms, just the whole management of those, not just QuickBooks, of course, but all the different data files they may collect from their clients.
Right. And, you know, there are many, many, many solutions out there. And I hear from every time we do like a show like this or an article, somebody will send me a note and say, well, we use, you know, this or this or this to do it. And there's lots of different solutions, you know, many free ones, you know, Send My File, things like that are you know, web-based, free, and, you know, probably secure. I don't know. I've not vetted them. But the problem with all of those is they work really well for one or two or even three clients. Once you get to 30 or 300 or, heaven forbid, 3,000, they fall down because you can't manage that. And so then you get over to the portal world where you have this document exchange, file exchange, and it's manageable because you've got a framework around it.
Yes, exactly. And the third category that I wanted to point out also is what I would call real-time portals. And these are more advanced, more sophisticated. We don't see a lot of these yet in most, at least certainly most small to mid-sized accounting and tax practices. But when I use the term real-time portal, what we're talking about is at the portal site is posting out there some real-time information for the client. And if we go back to our discussion of the banks, you know, they'll have a real-time portal, of course, because you can go in there and actually see your current banking transactions. You can see your savings account balance, your checking account balance, your loan account balances, and those are updated, if not real-time, certainly within the last 24 hours. And that depends, you know, how well the institution does in setting up their portal. I think we're going to see more and more of these real-time portals in accounting and tax practices, but that's still a little bit down the road. But it's interesting because I was asked recently to speak at the Michigan CPA Association's Small Practitioners Conference, and I usually have the opportunity to speak there. They have a conference every summer, and they usually, you know, ask for some specific topics, and they really caught me by surprise because they said, John, they'd like you to speak on the topic of electronic dashboards. And I thought, boy, things are moving pretty fast out there when that group is actually looking for something as advanced as a dashboard. And dashboards can be examples of a real-time portal where you're pushing out some kinds of information for the client. That could be information that the accounting firm is generating. For example, it could be keeping a log or interactive file of how the client stands with their tax payments for the year, estimated payments they've made to date, estimated payments scheduled to be made, for the successive quarters coming up. It could be an interactive view of their financial plan, their personal financial plan, compared to their actual investment and savings accounts.
Sure.
There's a number of these on the market, but one that I found early on, gosh, probably 5 years ago when this was all coming on the scene, is a system called eMoney Advisor. And, it's just one good example where they have a very comprehensive real-time portal where, particularly for practitioners who are involved in personal financial planning, it has a very sophisticated, a very thorough process for setting up a client's personal financial plan, and then it allows you to create the links into the logins, if you will, to all the client's stock accounts, bank accounts, and so forth, insurance accounts.
So it's aggregation.
Yeah, aggregation, exactly. And then it takes that information and in a real-time mode, it compares it to your financial plans. By June 30th, 2008, you're supposed to have this much in cash and this much in equity investments, and here's where you actually stand. And, that's really taking client service to the next level beyond simply posting their documents out there. So I get excited talking about those, but I also, from a practical perspective, realize that for many firms, you've got to walk before you run. And so the one-way portal or the two-way portal with the file exchange is really the best place to start for most firms.
It's things, first of all, the portal thing is you remember, John, when we first met, and I was a Thompson exec at that point, and you and I sat down and talked about online kinds of things, and I showed you a product that we were just rolling out at what was then Creative Solutions. Their portal product, which was kind of the first vertical offering in our market. I think that's fair to say. It took them 5 years to get 100,000 users, but they have 100,000 portals out there after 5 years, and then it took them 5 months to get another 100,000.
Is that right?
This is growing very, very, very rapidly. And you made an interesting comment, John, about selecting a bank based on their online capabilities. In other words, just show me the portal that I will use so that I can determine whether or not I want to do business with you. And I challenge accounting firms all the time when I speak to them and talk to them about portals, and simply say, what are you going to say when the new client comes into your office and after the visit says, well, when you're done, just let me know and I'll download my tax return from my portal. And you look at them and say, we don't have portals. How's that conversation going to go for you? Because it's going to happen.
Well, absolutely. The best way to answer is to say our portal strategy, our portal is a work in process to get you by that initial response, but what we're seeing, the good news is in the marketplace is a lot more interest and a lot less resistance on the part of practitioners to actually pursue the portal concept. And so that's interesting, your statistics you provide for Thompson, that 5 years to get to 100,000 and 5 months to get to the next 100,000. That mirrors what we see in our work with CPA firms, and it's very positive, and people are really beginning to appreciate the potential to improve their communications and exchange of information with their clients, and at the same time increase the efficiency of just how they get their work done. And boy, when you can hit both those objectives with one initiative, it's pretty tough not to do it.
Sure. So there's a bunch of different ways to do this, but kind of what I'm going to call built in to most of the document management systems that are out there that are available or especially marketed to tax and accounting firms. And you're, again, kind enough to do those the reviews for us at the CPA Technology Advisor. You do a wonderful job, as usual. But Most of those products, John, have some sort of a portal function. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I would say it's pretty much becoming, for the most part, a standard feature in the sense that it may not be part of the core document management solution
right.
as part of the bundled price. And oftentimes it's like an add-on module, which would certainly make sense because
sure.
you want to get the document management solution in place first and then move to the portal second. And, yeah, we've definitely been looking at that portal piece as part of the evaluation and review of each of the vendor solutions. And, you know, I feel that each year we're getting more and more focused on the portal piece, as it should be, because it is playing a more important role. But, and that's a good place to start. You know, we talk about the fact that there are so many portal solutions out there, and, you know, where do you begin to look for the right solution for your practice? And I'm a big proponent to, you know, start by looking at the vendor who's already supporting your other applications. And
right.
the two most likely candidates for having a good portal solution is if you have a document management system, you definitely should take a look first at that vendor's solution and see if it's going to meet your objectives. Also, for tax software, there's a lot of portal solutions that are designed to work directly with various tax preparation software packages because it's a natural extension to just finish the tax prep process by posting a PDF copy of the return to the portal directly.
Right. So there are, you know, kind of pop back over to, you know, to when you're using one of these, you know, the portal, the built-in portal function, you know, that's either in your tax package or your document management package. It seems to me that the important thing is, I mean, obviously that, you know, it does it, but you get the benefit of in most cases a major company spending, you know, developing the infrastructure because the multiple, you know, failover and redundancy and the speed and size and mirrored capabilities of the data centers and things becomes pretty important. I don't think there are very few firms who could afford, and probably none that it would make sense to do, to duplicate that kind of technology. Is that one of the big benefits?
Yes, absolutely. That's really become the primary application that firms are using to leverage the hosted model because of all the things you mentioned, just all the security and stability and reliability that a data center brings to the table.
You know, for years, I would have this conversation with accounting firms about, you know, I'm not gonna put my clients' data on the internet or on anybody else's server. I want it in my office where I know it's safe and I know it's controlled. And now I'm having that same conversation with those same CPAs, and they are saying, I got to get my client data off of my server and to a major data center where I know it's safe and secure. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's been a great trend too, because it's just I think that practitioners are becoming more knowledgeable about all the different aspects of this type of technology, and they compare the cost and benefits of that, what I'll call hosted or outsourced approach, versus trying to manage these things inside their firm. And boy, it just can be a real drain on resources the more you try to do some of these things internally. And I think most practitioners are, you know, just getting more and more aware of that.
Sure. So if you know what I hear you saying, John, is you know, let's say you're a firm using your ProSystem FX shop. Lots of firms out there kind of in that suite, and you know, you're there and you wanna do portals. You call up your friendly CCH sales guy, and he, you know, and you talk over this thing, and so they turn on portals. Kind of describe to me a little bit how that, what's the function that happens. And, you know, it's the same thing that would happen if you happened to be a Thompson, you know, say a Go File Room customer. You'd have the kind of the same conversation, but what really happens? What do you do?
Well, it's you know, the specifics of how that process works is going to be different with each vendor, of course, but essentially what happens is the portal becomes almost like another drive. So you say, okay, I want to publish this 2007 1120 tax return to ABC Company's portal. So if it's directly integrated with the application, it's going to be almost like a file save as type of a process. You're going to say, I want to file or save this into the portal, and it may already know who the client is that it gets assigned to because you've already logged into that client in your tax software. So therefore, it knows, okay, we're an ABC Company account, therefore this is going to go into the ABC Company portal file. And when you're evaluating different solutions, that's where you're going to start to see some difference. Some of them do it very swiftly, very simply. Others, it's a little more kludgy to get that done. Also, when you look at some of the functionality that the portals can offer, in terms of posting documents, one of the issues that commonly comes up is an accounting firm will be servicing a business client, and they'll also be servicing perhaps multiple owners or management team members of that company. So how do we then deal with the documents that on one hand are to be shared by all of them, but on the other case we may have some like individual tax returns that are just supposed to be available for one person.
Right.
And so in some of the portals, they'll have that capability built right in where you say, okay, we're going to set up the portal for ABC Company, and then we can basically have subsidiary portals for the individual owners. So you would just have to decide as the tax practitioner, if this is the corporate tax return, I'm going to put it into the corporate section of the portal, but if it's John Doe's individual tax return, I'm going to move it into his subsidiary portal account. And that's a real nice feature because that way, on the client side, when John Doe logs in, he'll automatically have direct access to all the ABC Company documents, as well as direct access to his individual documents. But he won't be able to see, Mary Smith's documents that are personal to her because she'll have those secured under her area separately.
Right. You know, that it seems to me that's just another reason that the idea of having purchasing someone's established portal system solves so many problems because that problem that you just described is common to virtually every firm. So there's no reason to solve it over and over and over. That particular solution is quote built in, and you don't have to try and figure out how to do that. I'm seeing a lot of firms talk to me right now and saying, we're going to do portals, but we're going to build it with SharePoint in our office. Reaction?
Well, it takes me back to the 1980s, Greg, when I first got involved with this work with technology, and was primarily at that point working with accounting systems for small and mid-sized businesses. And I look back on the 80s, it amazes me how much time people spent, distracted with technology. I mean, business owners who would say, I want to develop a little database for my customer information, or I think we can create our own accounting system. And they spend lots of time doing those things when they should have been focusing on their core competencies and, running their business and so forth. And I can see the same thing happening. SharePoint is a very powerful tool. It has a lot of, great capabilities. But you're basically, building your own house to one degree or another, and you have to step back and say, is this really the best use of my time or the best use of my staff time? Because it's taking you away from certainly client service, it's taking you away from your core, technical competencies. But what happens is for some people it's fun. I mean, it's really intriguing. I fall into that trap from time to time myself. But you really have to, if you're the managing partner or the firm administrator, you really have to step back and say, why are we building this ourselves when we have all these good solutions out there? And, we can leverage the economics of a shared resource model. So that's my opinion on it.
Our good friend and regular columnist with the magazine, Randy Johnson, on Tech2Go just the other day referred to these people as accounting techno-hobbyists. You know, his comment was, if you want to have technology for a hobby, that's fine, but understand that that's what it is. And hobbies cost time and money. They don't earn time and money.
Exactly.
You know? So just recognize what it is. And when you think of, I mean, I've been in world-class data centers, you know, for example, the Thompson data center. And it's jaw-dropping how in massive they are and how well thought out and the, you know, the safety and all that. Nobody's going to duplicate that. And you look at you know, 200,000 portals or over in CCH Pro FX, they've handled hundreds of millions of documents through their portal system. And you know, and then some accountant's going to sit down, you know, and say, well, I'm going to make SharePoint do that.
Yeah, you know, well, you make a great point, Greg, of the idea of actually the visual impact of just going and visiting a data center. I encourage every accounting and tax professional to do that. I just think it is a real eye-opener, and you sit there and say, so we get access to all this capability, all these resources for $100 a month or whatever.
Right.
And then you say, well, you know, right then the decision should be made for you.
Yep.
But, you know, sometimes you have to see it to believe it, I think, and it can be very impactful.
It would be kind of like touring Fort Knox and then comparing that to the bottom file drawer on your office desk that you have locked with the key in the desk drawer.
Yeah, somebody can come in and pick up the whole desk.
The security. So, John, there are a couple of different methods, I guess, of the way that you use the word published, and I think I'll ask you to kind of define that for people. But one of the ways, when I put a document in a portal, I place it where my client can see it. There are a couple of different philosophies. One of them says, I want to have that document where both the document that I'm looking at and the document that they're looking at is the same document. So when I take it out of my filing cabinet, I also take it out of his because it's the same document. It's just two different ways to look at it. A different view of the world, and I don't know, this is not right and wrong. I don't think it's just different. The different view of the world says you have one set of information in your filing system for you as a firm and another set of information that is much the same in many cases, but yet a separate set of information out there in a client's portal. Which of those do you subscribe to?
Well, that's a great question. I think that certainly from a perspective of efficiency, the concept of just, you know, having the client and the accountant, you know, working and viewing that same copy of the file is you know, on its face going to be more efficient. But you certainly have to make sure you've addressed the issue of, you know, well, okay, so what copy of that file is the client looking at? And when we talk about the tax return, that's the classic example because, you know, many firms will print an accountant's copy and a client's copy. So if you're going to share a copy with the client, you have to, in that case, probably print both of them so that your client has not seen the accountant's copy with the additional diagnostic information. On the flip side, one of the big benefits of actually publishing a second copy of the document that only the client sees, it's you know, at that point basically a static document, is that it does give you the ability that it makes it more of a methodical process to think about what you're doing. You have to actually proactively take that step to make a second copy of the file to post it to the client's portal. And so I think that what you lose in efficiency, you have the potential to gain in improved quality control in terms of making sure the right information is getting put out there on the client portal. But I emphasize the word potential there because if your business process is not well established there, you could make the opposite argument. I mean, the fact that we're handling the information a second time means we have just doubled our chances for posting the wrong information out there. But I think either way, the key point, Greg, is that Practitioners have to understand that this is not a step in the process that should be taken lightly. It's your last real quality control check to make sure your final product is being properly presented to the client when it moves from your filing system to the portal.
Right.
And that's a key point to keep in mind.
My issue with this, John, is that when I was practicing full time, and as I still practice a tiny bit, but when I was practicing full time, there was a time once I remember one time that we made an error on a financial statement that we had to pull back and reprint. And it probably never happened to you, but it happens to everything. Just it's our business. That's why we have review, right? So you publish a financial statement or a tax return, whatever it happens to be, and it goes out, and you've placed a copy in the corporate portal, and you placed a copy in a portal for each of two or three different shareholders, and you placed a copy in the portal for the bank, and maybe another one in the portal for the attorney. And, so you've got all of these copies out there. How do you keep track of where they all are when you use this duplicate system? To me, if I say I'm going to pull back my copy and I pull it back and everybody was looking at that single copy, then I know exactly what I've got. But there are great management tools built into to most of these systems also.
Yes.
So John, give me the last, where time is getting to be an element here. So kind of give me the wrap up. If you walk into a firm and they want to do this portal thing, what are the top things they ought to be considering? And what's going to cost them?
The first thing is they need to make sure they have a good understanding of what the portal concept is and what the capabilities of the portals are. And that, a good first step there is to sit in on some of the vendor web demonstrations, just to look, show and tell demonstrations to see how two or three different vendors approach the portal concept. And that'll make the practitioner an educated buyer, as they say. Then they need to think about, okay, so what is it really important to provide to our clients? Where are we going to get the most bang for our buck in terms of posting information out for our clients? So develop basically like a content profile of what we want the typical individual client to see on their portal, what kinds of information we want to provide for them, and for the business entity, what kinds of information do we want to provide for them. And then once you've established that framework, as you look and research different portal solutions, you can just then match their ability to help you do that efficiently. The methodology that's used to physically put files into the portal and assign it to portal users, that's a key area you want to really look at, because as the volume of your postings are going to increase, that's going to obviously have a big impact on overall efficiency. So you want to look at just how that process works. Another feature to look for, which is becoming, I'd say, pretty much a standard function feature, is to be able to view some type of an audit trail of the users of the portal. Have they looked at the document? If they've looked at it, have they downloaded it? Have they printed it? Just to get, kind of an audit trail there. That's very helpful, particularly, let's say, you put a draft of the client's tax return out there and you send them a notice that, hey, your tax return's out on the portal for you to review before we finalize it. Then rather than calling the client to say, did you look at it, you could just go to that audit trail report and see that the client looked at it, yesterday at 3 p.m. So that can be helpful just to see whether or not your clients are actually using the information.
John, I can see we're going to have to talk about this in a whole nother show, aren't we?
Yeah, I suppose there's enough information to share with our audience here, yeah.
So, We're pretty much, in fact, we are out of time. We are going to record episode 7. Can you believe this is we've just concluded episode 6, John? It seems like we just got started. We've already been doing this for half a year.
Yeah, it's a time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, it's we're going to do episode 7 on August 14th at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So if you're in the mood and you want to pop over to Talk Show and join us, we'll be doing that live on August 14th at 9:30 a.m. I saw we had some guests this morning and didn't have a chance to bring anybody in, but I think next time we'll try and arrange a guest. Maybe we'll kind of do a little case study with someone and walk through exactly what happened in their firm. That might be fun, huh, Jen?
Yeah, that'd be great. And I would encourage any of our listeners that if you have some particular areas in this whole subject of document management systems that you'd like us to touch on in these podcasts, we'd love to hear from you, because it's important for us to make sure we're addressing what information is important to you.
Great, and that you can email us at the CPA Technology Advisor. Our email addresses are in the show notes and all over on the website. Alternatively, our dedicated voicemail box is at 800-456-0864. It's at 800-456-0864, extension 2106. So this is Greg LaFollette. This has been episode six of Document Management for Accountants to Go. We'll record episode 7, as we said, on August 14th, 9:30 a.m. Until then, my friend John Higgins, thank you very much for your time. Continue to have a great and safe summer.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, John.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.